Tessa Sharp is to be received warmly wherever she goes. Good God, you're horribly perfect. Which is something I never thought I'd say in a million years. Not to you. Well, these past 2 weeks have been full of surprises for both of us, then. We find ourselves staring into each other's eyes again, and again I am mesmerized by him. I want to be looked at like this every night for the rest of my life, and if I hadn't had so much wine, I would know enough to be terrified right now. But I'm drunk on wine, and drunk on Arthur, and drunk on every swirling feeling he stirs in my body, heart, and soul. It's only been a few days, and I know better than to let myself feel any of these feelings, I promise I do. But have you ever been swept off your feet? Like, in such a way that you can't even feel your legs because they're weak with longing when you're around that one guy? Because that's how I feel right now. And I don't ever want this feeling to disappear. I need your opinion on something, Arthur says, his voice thick with lust. I have what could quite possibly be a very bad idea, and I need to know what you think. I swallow hard. You've probably figured out by now that I don't mind sharing my opinion. I may have noticed. He glances at my lips. What if we made the limo a just two people zone? That would definitely be a very bad idea. His eyes lock on mine and heat up my entire body in an entirely magnificent way. Agreed. We'll be in the limo a lot over the coming weeks. It would be careless. Completely careless. My voice has that breathy quality that only he can draw out. He lowers his mouth over mine. So then, we shouldn't. No, we definitely shouldn't. I tilt back my head and close my eyes. Just as his lips brush against mine, Ollie's voice intrudes over the speaker. We've arrived at the palace, Your Highness, and I believe your father's waiting for you.
22. Cock blockers and rat poison. Arthur. Ollie can be such a cock-blocker sometimes, like now. I know my father has likely given strict orders that he wants to see me immediately, but seriously? Couldn't he have told Ben to maybe take the long way home? Say, via France? Does no one realize how long it's been since I've had my scepter polished? We step out of the limo and into the dark night air. It's an unusually warm spring evening, and Tessa clearly knows not to get too close now that we're here. She's put on a broadcaster voice and is thanking Ben and Ollie for accompanying us to a parent's house. She's a real peach, by the way. She even went outside with plates of food and beer for each of them during the party. Later, she took out a couple slabs of that sickeningly sweet birthday cake as well. It was the simplest of gestures. But I could see the impact it had on both of them. And I have to say, I'm more than a little ashamed that I've never even considered doing that myself. Thanks, fellows. Good night. I walk up the steps with Tessa, as slowly as possible, both of us knowing that once we reach the other side of those doors, everything will change. Already there's a space between us that wasn't there before, and it is physically painful for me not to touch her. As ridiculous as that sounds, it's true. When we reach the top step, I turn to her. I'm very sorry our night has come to such an abrupt end. And I am. I really and truly am.
Me too. It's been a wonderful day. So much more than I ever expected.
Her smile doesn't reach her mossy green eyes, but I love her for trying to pretend.
Thank you again for coming with me. Just having you there was a once-in-a-lifetime thrill. For my mum, I mean. She's such a fan. And for me, it was lovely to have someone there to do my fighting for me for once.
The honour was mine. There is so much I want to say at this moment, it would take me all night. But in a few seconds this door will swing open, and our perfect day will come to an end.
Can I ask you something? Why did you stick up for me, back at the house?
Because it was the truth. You are brilliant. Even though some of your arguments are misinformed, your reasoning is sound, given the information on which you have based them. You have managed to articulate your beliefs with a clarity few people possess. I smiled down at her. Besides, you're rather easy on the eyes, and an absolutely amazing kisser. She grins up at me, and this time I know she's not just pretending to be happy. And for one perfect moment, things are just as I want them to be. Then the door opens, and Damien is standing on the other side with an insolent look on his face.
There you are, Your Highness. His Serene Majesty has been expecting you for some time.
We follow him inside and toward my father's office. When we reach the doors, Damien stops.
I think it's best if Prince Arthur goes in alone, miss. His Majesty has pressing business for the Prince.
Certainly,
she nods.
Good night, Your Highness.
Good night. I watch as she turns the wrong way and starts walking. Tessa!
Yes?
She looks back. Your room is that way. I point in the general direction of the private residence wing.
Got it.
She spins, and I can't help but watch as she hurries down the hall. So, the old man is pissed at me.
I did try to warn you. I'll be in my office if I need it.
Damien bows, then leaves me alone to face my father. I take a deep breath, hoping to sober up in the next 10 seconds. I close my eyes and silently tell myself, get the upper hand, set the boundaries early, don't fuck up. Then I open the door to my doom. People will tell you my father looks like a teddy bear, but has the voice and demeanor of that bad uncle in the cartoon about the lions. You know the one. Jeremy Irons played him. I think he had a scar on his face or something. Anyway, anyone who says that about my father is not wrong. He can lure you in with his friendly smile and his thick, light brown hair that never wants to lay quite flat on his head. But you do well to remember that if you're not careful. You could find yourself tossed off a cliff into a stampede of wildebeests. Well, not literally, but he will certainly fuck you over if the opportunity presents itself. I really should have said no to that last beer. So far, tonight's reception is pretty much par for the course for as long as I can remember. I stand behind the chairs opposite his enormous, shiny walnut desk, while my father sits in his high-backed leather office chair doing paperwork, a glass of whiskey in his right hand. He doesn't look up at me, but continues writing. The only thing that has changed is that when this first started, I could barely see over his desk. I stare at all of the animal heads on the wall to the left of me. All things he has shot himself, or so he claims. I find myself staring at the buck in the dead center of the wall. His black, glassy eyes reflect back my own hollow heart when I am around my father. Finally, he speaks.
My son returns. I understand you are on urgent business on behalf of your cock.
Here we go. Nice to see you too, father. Glad you had a safe journey. He waves a hand at me, but keeps working.
I am told that you and this blogger critic person have been inseparable. Really living up to your potential as far as your intelligence goes, aren't you?
I know it seems unconventional, but acting according to regular protocol hasn't been serving us all that well in recent years. And I must say, things are going very much according to plan.
Really?
He puts down the pen and has a sip of his drink.
This ought to be good.
It is good. At the pace I'm going, I'll have her convinced long before the 2 months are up.
And then what?
Then she will do the heavy lifting on our behalf. I walk over to his drink cart and pour myself a bourbon. Fuck it.
Might as well have a little nightcap at this point. In fact, I'm certain if we were to poll the people again right now, we'd find that our approval rating has gone up just by having her here.
And yet, I still want her out of my home immediately.
We can't get rid of her now. It would be a PR nightmare. Besides, things really are going rather well. I can't hide my stupid grin when I think of her, which is not at all helpful right now.
Rather well? You've got an idiot living here who can't manage to go more than 2 minutes without making a total fool of herself.
I wouldn't say that. She's actually quite smart. Prone to embarrassing little mishaps, yes. But the people find it rather endearing. And by people, I mean me. Plus, she does hold a lot of sway, and if you've bothered to read her blog lately, she's coming around to our side already.
Endearing, really? Sniffing her armpits on camera?
He wrinkles up his nose.
She's making a mockery of us all. And don't think I don't know what's been going on. Arthur, Crown Prince of Avonia, Duke of Wellingbourne, idiot, who's about to allow a mangy little twat to bring down the monarchy. Do not call her that. Oh, Christ, you are predictable.
He shakes his head in disgust.
Why shouldn't I call her that? She is of no more consequence to me than a fruit fly landing on my plate.
It is unfortunate that you see her that way, because she may be the one person in this entire kingdom who can save our sorry arses. Besides, I have a plan B tucked away, should it become necessary. I hate myself immediately when the words leave my mouth.
Which is?
I can tell that he already knows. This is a test of my loyalty, and there's really no point in failing. Keep your enemies closer. Damien's managed to dig up some dirt on a past we can use against her. But like I said, we won't need it. My father scoffs. He's very big on scoffing, which is why I never do it.
You're going to fail, you know. Even if your plan had a hint of merit to begin with, there isn't even any time to execute it. But no matter.
He swats the air with one hand.
Now that I'm here, I'll take care of things myself.
For once, can you just allow for the possibility that someone other than you might be able to...
You have no idea, do you?
About what? Bollocks. I probably should know what he's about to say.
Tomorrow, the PM's office will announce the referendum. They want to dissolve our powers once and for all. The vote is to take place in 10 weeks.
Oh, I see. I drop down into a chair and glance up at the crest behind his head. It's the royal seal, carved out of wood, then dipped in gold back in the days when Robin Hood and his merry men were running around the forest in tights. The shine has dulled, and the wolves protecting the crown seem almost sinister to me at this moment, like they're going to jump off the wall and attack me. I really shouldn't finish this bourbon.
Yes, now, you see. Let me make something clear to you. We will retain power by any means necessary. Do you understand that? Any means. I don't give a good goddamn who gets hurt in the process. Not you, not your little blogger bitch. The only thing that matters is retaining our rule over this nation.
He pounds his fist on his desk, causing his pen to hop, then roll onto the floor. It's his signature move. Our secretary's jumping out of their skirts, and the old bastard loves it. So nice to know how much you care, Father, as always.
Stop being a child. Our family has held this nation for the better part of a millennium. We will not lose it under my reign.
Things pretty much went downhill from there. He sniped at me for not knowing about the PM's announcement that hasn't happened yet. I sniped at him for backing the wrong horse. He told me that should this moronic plan of mine fail, I will be single-handedly responsible for bringing down this monarchy and shall go down in history as the first heir never to take the throne. to which I responded, "I'd say you go down as the king who lit the match that burned the whole house."
"If it does all go up in flames, it might be a blessing. You would make a terrible leader. You're weak, like your mother."
This is where things got really ugly, because I said something I've never said and never thought I'd say in my entire life, certainly not to him. I said, "Perhaps you'd like it if I took the same way out that she did." He stopped and just stared at me with his cold, dead eyes. Up until that moment, he had no idea, I know, she took her own life. He may have suspected I knew, but I never once said it out loud.
"What did you just say?"
"You heard me, old man." Then he threw his glass of whiskey at me. I ducked, and it hit the floor behind me. So now I'm lying in bed, listening to the seconds tick by on my wall clock, and waiting for morning to come. If I'm really honest, I'd tell you I hate the man. Always have. Well, not always. There was a time, when I was very small, that I sought his approval above and beyond anything else. But when I turned 10, I realized it would never come, and it never did. Then, when I found out how my mother really died, that was it for me and him. I was fucking done. I should have just poisoned him myself a long time ago. I could have found some untraceable liquid on that black market internet site with all the weapons. I wouldn't be the first in our family to do it either. Poison a king, I mean, not shop online. About 200 years ago, the Duke of Elderbridge poisoned his brother, King Edwin, with rat poison. He was hoping to get the entire family in one shot, but he forgot which goblet didn't have the poison and drank it himself, leaving his younger sister alive and ready to rule. She did a bang-up job, apparently. Managed to lower taxes by tossing almost all the prisoners out of the dungeons and putting them to work on the nationally owned farms. So at the same time she lowered taxes, she made healthy food available to everyone at a fair price. See? I told you women should run the world. Why does no one else see this? Anyway, back to my father. The man's got another 20 years in him if he's got a day. And by the time he gets done with it, the throne won't be worth sitting on, if it's even here at all come summer. I wish Tessa were lying next to me right now. Or Underby. I should really get up and crush some water right now. I'm going to be horribly hungover again tomorrow morning. Or on top of me. I would like her on top of me. Just as well as under me.
23. No taxes were used in the making of this dress. Tessa. Text from me to Arthur. Any chance you're making eggs this morning? Arthur. Not today. I'm afraid I'll be tied up in meetings all day. In one now, actually. Me. Good. I didn't want to hang around with you anyway. I was just using you for your culinary skills. Arthur. I've never been used for that before. Me. Get used to it. They were damn good eggs. I sit at my desk and wait for an answer, but none comes. Mavis brings a tray of food. I thought you'd want to take breakfast in your room again. She sets the tray down. There's a note from Mr. Hendricks for you. I pick it up, leaving the food untouched. Thanks, Mavis. I open the envelope and see a handwritten note. Miss Sharp, the next days will be busy for Prince Arthur. He and his father will be in meetings that must remain private for the benefit and security of our nation. The Princess Dowager has requested that you attend her suite to choose a dress for the upcoming ball. She asks that you are there by 10 o'clock sharp. Please ring me at the number below should you need anything. Kindest regards, Vincent. I look at my phone again, but there's still no text from Arthur. A pang hits me. Loneliness, maybe? Longing for something I can't have and shouldn't want is more like it. Bugger. I've really gone and messed things up. I tear a piece of the warm blueberry scone and pop it in my mouth. Fuck me, these really do melt in your mouth. some secret royal recipe they hide from the public, who only get to eat very ordinary scones. Bastards. Oh, dear, Tessa, is that all you can come up with? Delicious scones? That's not exactly going to bring down the monarchy, is it? It's been over 2 weeks, and I haven't found anything to prove my point. I know what the problem is. It's that Arthur is far too good in his attempt to win me over. And my lady bits want me to let him convince me. Dear God, do they ever? I think about yesterday. The walk, the kiss, the luncheon flirty texts, toy shopping, the party. It was almost like fitting in a month's worth of dating into one day. But it wasn't, and we aren't, and I have to accept that. No matter how much I laughed or how weak my knees went when he kissed me, we are very much on opposite sides of a battle, and it's one I cannot afford to lose if I'm ever going to get a second chance as a respected journalist. I reach for my phone and dial Nikki's number. "There you are, finally," she says instead of hello. "I saw you and Prince Charming on the news at the toy store yesterday. There were cameras. Someone in a shop across the street with a cell phone. That looked rather cozy." "It was fun, but don't read anything into it. He's desperate to do whatever it takes to please me, remember?" "Well, going to your parents for a family dinner is above and beyond. It almost makes me feel like he deserves to be king some day." "Me too." "Ha! It'll take a lot more than a family dinner and some flirty texts to convince me." "Flirty texts?" she asks. "Spill it, lady." "Shit. Oh, it was nothing. He's just exactly as charming as you thought he'd be." Nikki laughs. "So I was right, then. Your biggest problem is going to be not sleeping with him." "Wait, you haven't slept with him, have you?" "No, I have not slept with him. God, I'm not a complete idiot," I huff. "But you want to." "Maybe a little." I hear the water slosh and then Nikki's muffled voice screaming. The water sloshes again and she's back. "Sorry about that." Underwater scream. "Yes. You totally have to sleep with him. I mean, when in your life will you ever have the chance to shag a real prince? Think of the stories you'll have for your grandkids one day." "I don't think those are the kind of stories you tell your grandchildren." "Maybe not, but think of the stories you'll have for all the other ladies at the nursing home some day." "They'd never believe me. They'll just think I've got dementia." "But anyway, I called you to talk me down off the ledge, not encourage me to jump." "Okay, you're right. You cannot sleep with him," she says firmly. "It would be a huge mistake. It could ruin your career, not to mention cause you to lose what little morsel of respect your family has for you, should they find out." "That's better. Keep going, because I'm still getting the vision of him without his shirt on flashing in my brain every time I close my eyes." "Well, in that case, you should forget everything I just said and sleep with him." "Nikki, seriously, I'm having a crisis here," I say. "As my best friend, I need you to help me out here." "Why? Would he be up for a threesome? Because I've never thought of you that way, but if Prince Charming was down for it, I'd have to consider it." "Okay, number one, no. Number two, not helping." "Sorry, it's just too much. My brain is short-circuiting with every word you say right now." "Maybe your brain has turned to liquid from living in the bath." "Possibly." I glance at the clock. It's already 9:40, which means I only have 20 minutes to shower, change, dress, and find my way to the Princess Dowager's. I have to go. I have an appointment to pick out a ball gown in a few minutes. A ball gown? Oh, my God, I'm so jealous. My pruned-up skin is actually turning green. If it's any consolation, I wish you were here with me for all of this. Thanks, me too. But if it can't be me there trying on ball gowns and ogling the prince, I'm glad it's you and not some other bitch. Aw, thanks. Blog post, March 25th. Today I did something I never in a million years thought I would do, although that seems to be my catchphrase over the last 2 weeks. I was fitted for a ball gown in the Princess Dowager's suite, no less. I've been asked to attend the upcoming anniversary ball that is to be held on Saturday, May 6th. As your eyes and ears on the royal family, I have agreed. Naturally, I require something to wear, but had assumed I would head over to the mall like I usually do when I go to a ball. Just kidding. I've never been to a ball before. Anyway, the Princess Dowager had other ideas. To be honest, going into this, I was certain that this would provide another perfect example of the lavish, overpriced, unnecessary lifestyle of the royals. But I came away to discover that couldn't have been further from the truth. The Princess Dowager explained to me that as a patron of the arts and a supporter of female entrepreneurs in particular, she takes every opportunity she can find to provide opportunities for up-and-coming designers to showcase their work. Now, before you start to think that I have been bought by a shiny dress, it's divinely sparkly, by the way, I want to make it clear that I'm paying for the dress myself. I worked out a deal with the lovely and talented designer, Olivia Paul, whereby, in addition to paying for the cost of the dress and for her time, I will help get her name out there. Therefore, no tax dollars were used for the making of this dress. This is what Ms. Paul, who uses only cruelty-free, sustainably sourced fabrics, had to say about the matter. For years I have been waiting for my big break. That's how it is in this business. It's years of hard work, toil, sewing until your fingers bleed, and praying that someday you'll have your chance to get your name out there. The Princess Dowager has given me that chance. My time has come to shine, and now it is up to me to succeed or fail. I, for one, hope she succeeds. If she doesn't, I'm going to look horrible on May 6th. Wink. Just kidding. I wrote that because I'm rooting for her. She's a very hard-working, talented, kind person who deserves every success. Miss Paul went on to tell me that she lives in the industrial loft where she works. She barely makes rent each month, but she's still living her dream. Her gratitude for this opportunity was so magnanimous that it was difficult to remain unmoved. The Princess Dowager was absolutely aglow with pride during the fitting. Their connection was something quite lovely to see, even for a hardened old soul such as myself. For those of you who are interested in seeing the dress, the big reveal will happen on the night of the ball. And no, I won't be Prince Arthur's date in case you were about to write in and ask. Please visit Olivia Paul's website for more information on her work, listed below. Stay tuned for more on Life at the Palace. Tessa. Kingslayer 99. Tessa, what is happening between you and the Prince of Lies? I didn't like the looks of that footage at the toy shop yesterday. Has he found a way to blackmail you into making him look good? If so, tell me so I can help. I have connections. Me. No need to panic. No blackmail. Kingslayer 99. Too bad. If you could catch him trying to blackmail or bribe you, you'd have what we need. Me. I don't think he'd ever do that. He's actually not as awful as I thought he'd be. He can be surprisingly thoughtful. Kingslayer 99. It's all an act. He's just using you to get you to back down. Me. And I'm letting him think it's working, but don't worry. I'm keeping my wits about me. Kingslayer 99. Good. Because you are our best shot at taking them down. Voicemail from Mum. Tessa, it's Mum. I'm still waiting to hear back from you about whether Prince Arthur would like that plate commemorating his parents' wedding. He said he'd never seen it before, and I'm sure he would want it as a keepsake. Call me back and let me know. Text from Nikki. I just solved your sex problem. Two words. Chastity belt. I'm sure they've got one laying around somewhere. Just ask his gran if he can borrow one until you leave. Voicemail from Dad. Tessa, still wondering about the lawn tractor situation at the palace? Pub night's coming and Arcee didn't seem to know what kind of tractors they use either. You've sure got him fooled, the way he went on about how smart you are. Oh, and your mum wants to know about that plate. She said she can bring it by the palace on Friday on her way to that Caring for Your Bonsai seminar she's going to. Voicemail from Daniel Fitzwilliam, owner of Wellbits. This is your last warning, Miss Sharp. Call me by end of business today, or the next person you hear from will be my lawyer. This is Giles Bigley for ABNC. I'm standing outside the steps of the Parliament building among hundreds of members of the press. In just a few moments, Prime Minister Jansen will be making what we expect to be a monumental announcement. Insiders say that he's going to announce a referendum to remove the executive power function of Avonia's monarchy and place the royal family in a ceremonial role once and for all. Giles, do we know for certain that this is what the Prime Minister is going to announce? It seems as though it's highly likely, Veronica. This will come as quite a shock to all royal fans, as well as the royal family themselves. It certainly will, although it is my understanding that they may have been given some forewarning. Could that possibly be the basis of the Prince's recent invitation to Tessa Sharp to live at the palace? The timing would suggest as much. It would be a last desperate attempt at turning things around for... Oh, Veronica, here comes the PM now.
Are you watching this?
I am. Nikki's voice is quiet. She sounds as stunned as I feel. I can't believe he really did it. I've always hoped for this moment, but now that it's here, there's something not quite right about it. Have you talked to anyone in the family yet?
No, not yet. They're all in meetings.
So, are you happy? I mean, this is what you wanted, isn't it? I don't have a response right away, and even the fact that I'm not immediately sure tells me something has changed. Of course. Why shouldn't I be? My voice sounds hollow even to my own ear.
You sure?
Yes, definitely. I think so. I swallow, staring out at the tranquil meadow below. If I'm really honest, I feel sick inside, knowing what this moment must be like for Arthur and Princess Florence. Even Arabella must be in shock somewhere inside these walls. Their entire way of life could be ripped from them in a few weeks' time.
You'll have to post about it. You're probably getting hundreds of hits. People are waiting for your reaction.
Shit. Right. I suppose I should. I hang up and stare at my laptop for a long time. I know I need to make a statement, but in my heart, this announcement terrifies me rather than giving me reason to rejoice. I'm honestly so confused right now that I don't know what to think or how to respond. My feelings for Arthur have everything to do with it. Somehow I've allowed my judgment to become clouded again by a handsome man. I should really stick to giving product reviews and taking photos, because if there's anything more at stake, I am guaranteed to completely fuck it all up. I really am a very dull sharp. Kingslayer 99. It's finally happening. Are you as excited as I am? I can't stop smiling.
Me.
Yes, it's amazing news. Couldn't be happier. Just working on my celebratory blog post now. Kingslayer 99. In only a few weeks we'll be celebrating the vote and our nation will finally be free.
Me.
Absolutely. Can't wait. Blog post. Hurrah! The time for the people to have a say is upon us. The nation watched in shock today as Prime Minister Jack Jansen announced plans for an upcoming referendum to determine whether or not we need a royal family in addition to an elected government. The short answer, of course, is no, and if there is any justice in the world, the vote will come out that way. Although my days at the palace have shown me that I was wrong about several assumptions I held regarding members of Avonia's royal family, the institution itself still bears no more merit than it did 2 weeks ago. We are living in the 21st century, a time of self-determination, civil rights and freedoms. Allowing non-elected leaders to rule is simply holding on to an antiquated system when a much better alternative can and should be chosen. I have not spoken with any members of the royal family yet today, as they are all in meetings, but I can tell you that, on a personal note, I do feel for them. This is, in many ways, their darkest hour. But change is never easy, even when necessary, and should they be removed from power, at least they can take their money with them.
24. Salty or sweet? Arthur. It's after 10 in the evening, and I am finally alone for the first time today. Well, Dex is here, of course. I inhale sharply, and the air feels like knives in my chest, as it has all day. Bugger. I really should have tried harder to be the People's Prince long before this month. It was all fine and dandy when the referendum was just an idea, but now that it's been announced, it's like finding out that the White Walkers have breached the wall, and we don't have even one dragonglass dagger among us. We're well and truly fucked. Now with the announcement, and my father here, my time with Tessa will be significantly reduced, just as the necessity of getting her on side has increased a millionfold. I grab a glass and pour myself a scotch, letting the amber liquid glug out until there's enough to numb this awful feeling. Dex, we're going to have to up our game. He opens one eye and glances at me before going back to sleep. Lazy pig. I pick up my phone. Even though I'm as worn out as a 700-year-old tapestry, I get to work. Text from me to Tessa. What are you up to? Tessa. Catching up on some emails. How are you? Me. Superb. Why do you ask? Tessa.
No reason. Just that there was some type of announcement today that I thought may have impacted you.
Me.
Oh, yes. Coldplay is going on tour again. I'll probably get tickets. Not sure, really. Are you thinking of going?
Tessa.
The other announcement?
Me. Right, that one. I don't want tickets to that event at all. Fancy something salty? Tessa.
If you mean crisps, then yes.
Me. I have some for you in my room. Oh, that sounds pervy, doesn't it? Tessa.
Quite. But if there really are crisps, I'll risk it.
Me. Excellent. Just follow the trail of them leading to the bed. I hurry over to the ensuite to brush my teeth. Can't be smelling like scotch now, can I? Catching my reflection in the mirror, I see that I look like hell. Like I just went 10 rounds with Floyd Mayweather, only he didn't leave any bruises. I'm a total shit. I should just tell Tessa the truth and send her home already. I thought it would be so easy to use her and dump her. But now, somehow, I can see it will be harder than it seems. Ditching one's morals always is, isn't it? But it's not just that. As much as I can't admit it, I have very real feelings for her. Very strong, very real feelings. I hear a light knock at the door and hurry over, my heart picking up its pace a little. If I were to be really honest with myself, which I won't, I would say that this is the best part of my day. I tug open the door, and there she is. Lovely. I give her my best come-hither smile. Miss Sharp. But she doesn't smile back. Her eyes are filled with a concern I wasn't expecting.
How are you?
She asks. Fuck me. Now I want to crumble and spill my guts while I lay my head on her lap and she strokes my hair. Fine. Barbecue or plain? I have both.
Barbecue.
She follows me into the room. So, she wants to heat things up? I ask, grinning over my shoulder. I pluck the bag out of the sideboard and open it.
Arthur, I know it's been a very hard day for you. You don't have to pretend.
When I turn around, she's standing right in front of me. She puts a hand on my chest, and if that isn't the most comforting thing ever, I don't know what is.
I'm here if you need to talk.
Reality slaps me in the face. You're the last person I should be talking to about any of this.
I know, but what if we say we're just two regular people when we're sharing a bag of crisps?
She asks, with a sad smile. Can we?
Yes, Arthur. You can trust me. I have no need to play dirty.
You're already winning, aren't you? I try for a light tone, but it comes out all strange. Her soft green eyes stare up at me.
I'm not sure if I am.
I do have one confession to make. I watch as her eyes grew wide. I didn't really ask you here for crisps. She smiles up at me, then reaches her face up to mine.
Good, because I didn't come here to eat.
And then she kisses me. It's a light, soft, gentle brush of her full lips against mine, and it's the most delicious taste I've known. I drop the bag and pull her to me with both hands around her waist. I was wrong before. Having a hand on my chest was not nearly as comforting as holding her in my arms. We stay like this, our mouths blending together, our bodies pressed up against each other, both of us exploring one another with our hands. There's a thrill to this moment that exists in no other, the thrill of someone new. But this is different, and I don't know if it's because my entire world has just been rocked, or because I shouldn't want this woman. But I do know I have never felt an explosion of urgency like I do now. I am aching to be with her. And apparently, she feels the same way, because she just tugged my T-shirt over my head rather roughly. And now she's taken hers off as well. Oh, yes. That is a very nice pink bra, Miss Sharp.
You like it?
It makes me want to do very naughty things to you.
That's why they make them like that.
Geniuses, those bra designers. My hands are now cupping her breasts, and I run my thumbs over the center, feeling her nipples peak underneath the lacy fabric. I especially like the clasps. I wrap my hands behind her back and undo her bra with a quick snap that says, "This is not my first boob unveiling. But fuck me if it's not the best." Her tits are absolute perfection. Perky, full, and delectable. Mmm, very nice. A man could lose himself right here. I lower my mouth to her breasts and choose the right one to start on. In fact, I think I will. We end up naked on the couch because it's the nearest soft surface, and I'll be damned if I'm going to waste time going all the way to my bedroom. I need this woman right now. She's soft and warm and wet in all the right places. Tessa is on my lap, and the way she's moving and rubbing herself against me is the best thing I've ever felt. Then it happens. Snort. Dexter has woken up and is standing with his chin on the couch cushions next to us, staring. We both burst out laughing, and Tessa tucks her head into my neck to hide. Then she does something completely surprising. She lifts her head, looks at Dex, and says,
"Dexter, quit beaver damming me."
Oh, I think I love this girl. Not to worry. I pick her up and carry her to the bedroom, then slam the door shut with my foot.
Will he be sad, all alone?
He'll be as happy as a pig in crisps. We kiss some more while I hold her in my arms. I do like the feel of those strong runner's legs wrapped around my waist. Just when things are about to pass the point of no return, she pulls back a little.
Condom.
Right, very necessary. Of course. I drop her onto the bed, which makes her laugh, then walk over to my nightstand to retrieve an air stopper. Once my battle gear is in place, I hover over her for a moment so I can just look at her. Fuck, you're beautiful.
You'll say anything to get me to like you.
She gives me a saucy grin. True, but you are, you know. I kiss her mouth, and it's a long, full, deep one that makes her moan.
Arthur, I think we need to agree that this isn't going to change anything, right? We're still going to be enemies in the morning.
I feel a pang at her words, but I spread a cocky grin on my face anyway. Of course, that's what's going to make this so much fun. And then, much to Excalibur's delight, I find my way inside her wet, tight warmth. That feels so good. It's enough to make me forget today's shitstorm. Hell, it's enough to make me forget my own name. We move together like we're made for each other, doing things that are both intimate and somehow acrobatic at the same time. Things I do not ever want to forget, because I cannot remember ever feeling this happy. It's a most delightful mix of "I hope this never ends" and "I can't wait because I'm about to have an earth-shattering orgasm." By the end, we're a tangled, sweaty, deeply satisfied heap of humans. She's on top of me, her body pressed against mine, and I can feel her heart pounding in her luscious chest. She sighs.
"Your grandmother was right about you."
What? That did it. I was starting to get hard again, but that definitely put the brakes on my coming erection. She laughs.
"Sorry, I didn't mean to."
No need to apologize to me. I was about to give you another award-winning orgasm, so it's really your loss.
"Another?"
She lifts her head, wearing a huge grin. "Oh, don't pretend that wasn't magnificent. You actually meowed at the end there."
She blushes and nods a little.
True. It was very nice indeed.
Nice? My eyes grow wide.
Very nice.
Tessa laughs.
Oh, no. Have I bruised your giant ego?
I flip us both, so I'm on top of her. That's it. We're doing this again until you admit the truth.
Good. That's what I was going for this whole time.
And I won't go into any more details, because I'm sleepy. But suffice to say that after round two, she was quick to admit she had most definitely had more than one award-winning orgasm this evening. And I have to say, she wasn't the only one. I actually thought I went blind for a brief moment.
25. Pity sex and worm funerals. Tessa. Oh, my God. I can't believe we just did that. 3 times. And so very well. And I can't believe I am now lying next to him naked, with his arms slung over me like I belong here. But I don't, and we both know it. Logic and common sense are both screaming at me to sneak out of his bed this instant. But hormones and ovaries are ordering me to stay put in case he wakes up ready for round 4. I hate to tell you, ovaries, but we're using protection, so whatever egg is next in line doesn't have a chance. I need to go. I'm supposed to be trying to take down his family on behalf of all my followers. Oh, right. And because I've told millions of people it's the thing I want most in the world. Isn't it? I'll go. It's the smart thing to do. Oh, but look at his gorgeous face. Those are ridiculously long eyelashes for a man. I can reach out and touch them. And look at all those lovely, rippling muscles on his arm that's pressed against me. Ooh, those muscles are definitely making an argument for staying. And maybe doing the old, my body is wriggling into you of its own accord because I'm fast asleep thing. Get up. Go back to your room before anyone catches you. Arthur's eyes open and he grins at me. Well, hello. A smile spreads across my face before I can stop it. Hi. I thought I was dreaming, but all that really did happen, didn't it? It did. Even the part where you were upside down. I find myself giggling into my pillow. Even that. How the fuck did we manage that anyway? I have no idea. We should do it again so we can document the steps. He gives me a light kiss on the lips. Not now, though. You're not in the mood. What makes you think that? When I woke, you had that little crinkle between your eyebrows you get when you're worried about something. How does he know that? I was just thinking I should go before I get caught. I ran a finger down his cheek. I was also questioning my sanity, because there's no way I should have let you lure me into your bedroom. Lure you? You're the one who came under false pretenses. I was only planning to feed your salt addiction. Good point. I can't blame you, though. I have it on good authority that I'm irresistible. Says who? I'm not sure, but apparently they tell my grandmum everything. He traces my collarbone with his finger, sending tingles around my body. I don't find you attractive at all, really, I say. He stops his hand and raises one eyebrow in response. I hide my smile with everything in me. I only slept with you because I felt sorry for you. Oh, so that was a pity fuck, I'm afraid. I try my best to look apologetic, but he's clearly not buying it. 3 times? I felt really, really, really sorry for you. His eyes grow wide and laughter spills from him as he tosses the covers off both of us and rolls on top of me. For someone who claims to be so honest, you really are a bold-faced liar. Am not. And now he's working his way down my body with his tongue, and I'm pretty sure that he's about to remove me of both a confession and my wit. Dear Miss Sharp, as per the King's orders, the Ask Me Anything interviews have been suspended indefinitely. He trusts you will understand that given the current situation, the family must use the utmost caution in all media appearances, and will henceforth only allow taped interviews with trusted news sources that can assure an absence of technical issues. As a guest of the palace, he further trusts that you will handle the matter with delicacy as far as your readers are concerned. In addition, he extends his regrets in not having had time to receive you. Regards, Damian Peters, Chief Advisor to the King. Blog post. Interviews cancelled. Tessa here. I regret to inform you that the Ask Me Anything interviews have been suspended whilst the royal family concentrates their efforts on the upcoming referendum. I'm sorry that I didn't have a chance to get all of your questions answered, and I hope that one day in the future the opportunity will present itself again. I've taken down the forum until such time as the interviews will be given the green light. My cell phone rings. It's Nikki. He saw the blog post. It was because you left the camera on, wasn't it? That's what the note from the King's senior advisor implied. But I think it may be more about His Serene Majesty throwing his weight around now that he's home. Why didn't you go after him on the blog? You should take a picture of the letter and post it. I have a feeling that that little move might get me kicked out of the castle. So, you did what you set out to do. You've built your reader base, your advertising dollars are up, and now that the referendum's been called, you could come back and lead the charge from home base. I can't just leave. I made a commitment. I say, hoping she won't dig any deeper. If the King kicks you out, it'll be out of your hands. Sound convincing, Tessa. She cannot know you don't want to leave because you got shagged last night. 4 times. I honestly think I can be of more use from the inside. For now, I'll cooperate. That'll allow me to gather more information. I haven't found anything I can really use. Oh, crap. I'm being called to a thing. I have to run. Call you later. I hang up before she can say anything else. Guilt clouds over me. I just lied to my best friend. I am a shameless, unprincipled woman. God should smite me down. But if he could just wait until I've had a few more rounds in bed with Arthur, that would be lovely. Because up to this point in my life, I've been really very good. Except for lying to my parents on occasion. And now Nikki. And for betraying my principles and my readers by sleeping with the prince. Oh, just smite me now. I need your advice, but first you have to promise you won't say anything to anyone about this conversation. I'm in my room and I'm on the phone with Bram, who is called to ask for tickets for the ball. Apparently his new hygienist will definitely go down on him if he can bring her. Get me the tickets and you've got a deal. They don't sell tickets. It's not a bloody Justin Bieber concert. It's a ball, which means they send out invitations. So, get me an invitation. I'm not exactly an honoured guest, you know. I sigh. I'll see what I can do, but no promises. Then no promises not to tell. Ah! Why did I start this conversation? Oh, right, because I slept with the prince like a total fucking idiot, and now I'm freaking out. I'll tell Dad you were the one who filled his ship in a bottle with coke. You wouldn't. I would and I will. You told me you'd never rat me about that. I lied. I've been saving it for something important. Ha! So who's the smart one now, Bram? Fine. What? Yay! Score 1 for Tessa. You know how you're a total slut. Did no one teach you how to ask for a favour? Are you going to deny it? I ask. It's called stunt, because I'm a man. Whatever. How do you do that? Do what? Sleep with women and not develop feelings for them. I just told you I'm a man, he says. Wait a minute. Are you shagging the prince? No, I'm just considering it. Not with the prince, though. Definitely not with him. And I'm just thinking about it. Not that bald bodyguard dude. Not him either. None of your business. All you need to know is that it's not Arthur. Oh, it's him, all right, he bursts out laughing. Good Christ, you really have a gift for completely screwing up your life, don't you? For just once, can you try not to be an arsehole? But it's so much fun. He takes a bite of something crunchy and chews into the phone. Back to the question at hand. How do you stop yourself from getting attached? He has another bite and chews for a long time before answering. I pretend I don't hear it, because not unlike a third grader, he's doing it just to get a reaction. I just go into it knowing what it is, I guess. But doesn't it ever get complicated? No. I know exactly what I want, how to get it, and how to get out without things getting complicated. Well, this is no help at all. I shouldn't have asked. You'll never be able to do it, though. So if you are thinking of sleeping with him, you probably shouldn't. Bite. Chew. It's definitely an apple. You're not built like me, Tessa. How are you so sure? I'm going to tell you something, and if you ever tell anyone, I'll find a way to make your life a living hell. Got it? Typical big brother threat. Got it. It's because you're a nice person. You pretend to be all tough and strong, but deep down, you're just like Grandpa Seth. Way too fucking nice for your own good. That's not true. I'm very tough. I can be ruthless, even. Sure, you can write mean stuff when you're hiding behind your computer screen, but you could never say it to someone's face. I just called you a slut, didn't I? Yeah, but we're on the phone. Also, I am one. Crunch, chew. How big is that fucking apple? Listen, remember that time when Finn and I were burning worms with a magnifying glass? You set up a hospital and tried to revive them. You spent hours out there, and by the time Mum made you come in for supper, you were bawling. Over some worms. Then you and Grandad had the worm funeral. Remember that? With the bagpipe music and the little matchbox coffins? Face it, you're a nice person. You always have been. Fine, I'm nice. Now how do I sleep with someone without starting to imagine it's anything more than a shag? Well, for mind-blowing, toe-curling, I've died and gone to heaven shags. I already told you, you can't. So unless you and definitely not the prince are going to end up riding off into the sunset in a white carriage, you better stay the hell away from him, because you're going to get hurt. Crap. That's what I thought. 26. A girl can change her mind, can't she? Tessa. So I have not exactly taken Bram's advice. Instead, I have slept with Arthur every night for the last 4 glorious weeks. We've shagged so much I can't even think straight. I find myself both completely exhausted and deliriously happy, probably in much the same way as a new cult member during the indoctrination phase. I honestly don't know how he has so much energy. I've had to replace my morning run with night sex, and occasional morning sex. Oh, and yesterday we did it in the middle of the day in his office. That added thrill of getting caught seems to do something unexpected for me. Anyway, Arthur still gets up for his morning workout with Ollie, manages all of his obligations throughout the day and evening, then comes knocking on my door, all freshly showered and delicious for round after round of orgasmic fun. Almost better than the sex are the little romantic moments we've shared. We've managed to sneak away to the rooftop terrace twice now, and both times it was wildly romantic. Arthur brought up a bottle of wine and some cheese, crackers and grapes, and we had a little picnic while the sun went down. It's something I've always wanted to do with a man. The right man, that is. And it's as perfect as I imagined it would be. The rest of the world dissolves, and it's just the two of us alone. No phones, no laptops, no money problems. No referendums, just us. This may all sound like a dream come true, but it's clearly very wrong. And it wouldn't take a Lars to figure out that this is going to end badly for me, both emotionally when my heart is smashed to smithereens, and career-wise if anyone finds out. The one other negative